Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, there was a reference to the order of the brachas that one makes when Motzoi Shabbos happens to be the beginning of Yom Tov. In other words, where at the conclusion of Shabbos, Yom Tov sets in. So you have Shabbos, and then Sunday is the first day of Yom Tov. The opening piece of Gemara in today's shiur, which you will find the second line from the bottom of Kon Kuf Beis Omid Beis, it represents a Seder, an order of brachas. Many opinions appear on this topic, and in our outside margin you see we have a Nosei heading at the lower part of the Gemara text on Kuf Beis Omid Beis, opposite the end of the Gemara text in the outside margin. The Nosei says, Seder HaBrochas, the order of Brochas She'omrim Al HaKlis, B'Yom Tov She'chalios B'Moitzoi Shabbos. That when one is making Kiddush Havdalah, what is the order of Brochas? When we mention Kiddush Havdalah, we're referring to the Kiddush of the incoming Yom Tov and the Havdalah of the exiting Shabbos. In our sugya, you will notice we used a double underline, which is one of our series markings, indicating a series of opinions on this topic. There is quite a long series, and there is a fair amount of depth of explanation that accompanies each opinion, and this is found in the Rashbam. However, in the context of our shiur, we are just going to present the opinions and continue with the rest of the Gemara. So anyone who is interested in understanding the reasoning, the logic behind the different orders that one sees, one is welcome to learn the Rashbam on the sugya. So, the Gemara, Gufa. Gufa is an expression referring to a quote from something that was mentioned by the way earlier. Now the Gemara focuses on it. Gufa, Yom Tov Shechal Lios Achar HaShabbos. This is the case where Sunday is the first day of Yom Tov, so on Motzoi Shabbos, Saturday night, we have the following scenario. Rav Omar Yakna. These are all abbreviations, and for the same words, just the order changes as each new opinion comes. Rav says Yayin, the Yud is Yayin, Kuf, Kiddush, Nun, Ner, and Hey, Havdalah. That's the order that Rav suggests. Ushmuel Omar Yayin, Ner, Havdalah, Kiddush. One might find that Besomim is missing from this order of brachas, so the absence of the besomim is mentioned by the Rashbam, and he says that we don't make a bracha on besomim when one is entering Yom Tov. So you have, so far we've seen Rav and Shmuel's opinions, and now we continue at the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. V'Rav Omar Yayin Havdalah Ner Kiddush. V'Levi Omar Kiddush Ner Yayin Havdalah. Before we go further, I just want to make it clear that we know what we're referring to by each one of these terms. For example, Levi, who was the last one, Kiddush, everyone is probably familiar with that, the Kiddush of Yom Tov, of course. Ner is the bracha that we make, Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. Yayin is the Borei Pri HaGefen, and the He is Havdalah, as it appears in the Siddur. V'Rabbonon Amri, Kiddush Yayin Ner Havdalah. Marbrei de Ravno Omar, Ner Kiddush Yayin Havdalah. Marta Omar Mishmei de Rabbi Yoshua, Ner Yayin Havdalah Kiddush. Shalach Le Avuah de Shmuel de Rebbe. Avuah de Shmuel sends a message to Rebbe, or a request, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Seder Havdalah's Heich. Kindly teach us, how is the order of Havdalahs? How is the order of brachas that are associated with Havdalah under these circumstances of Yom Tov following Shabbos. Shalach Lei. So Rebbe sends back. Kach Omar Rebbe Yishmoel bar Rebbe Yossi Shomar Mishum Oviv. Shomar Mishum Rebbe Yeshua ben Chananya. We just had a long string of names, but the origin of this Shita is that of Rebbe Yeshua ben Chananya, hence his name is featured with the series marking. Ner Havdola Yayin Kiddush. Omar Rebbe Chanina. Moshel Rebbe Yeshua ben Chananya, that places Havdola before Kiddush. The Moshel, the analogy to this approach to having Havdola before Kiddush. In fact, Havdola before Kiddush was characteristic of some of the other opinions we've seen before. Havdola before Kiddush, you can see, appeared in the case of Shmuel as well, and we also saw that Havdola was before Kiddush by the Rebbe Yehoshua Shita. That's not Rebbe Yehoshua ben Chananya, but it's a Shita we saw in the third line from the top. So the following analogy may apply to those Shitas as well. Having the Havdola before the Kiddush. The analogy is Lamelech Shiyotze, a king is exiting. King is the top official, and in the analogy, Shabbos is parallel to the king. The Afarchus Nichnaset. Afarchus is a high official, but under a king, and he is entering. So if you had an assembly, and the king had been present at the assembly, the king is leaving, and this lesser official is coming in. What is the practice? Melavin es hamelech. The proper etiquette would be to escort the king outside, and that in our case is see to it that Shabbos exits properly, and that's through the recitation of the Havdalah. V'achakach yoytzim likras afarchus, and then the people go and greet the afarchus who's entering, and that would be the parallel to the Kiddush recited over the entering Yom Tov. Yom Tov being a holy day, but of a lesser level than Shabbos. My Havi Allah. At this point, and which is characteristic of many Gemaras after multiple opinions are expressed, the Gemara wants to know what is the halacha lemaisa, what's the proper way to do things. So even at this level, there are two opinions. We're going to see the same brachas mentioned with one addition, and that's the addition of the Zman, or Shehechiyonu, which applies in the case of the first day of Yom Tov, as we saw in a previous sugya, as opposed to the seventh day of Pesach, for example, which doesn't have a Shehechiyonu. But when you're dealing with the first day of holidays, which is pretty much almost always the case, you have that, whether it be the first day of Sukkot or Shmini Atzeres, which is the first day of that particular holiday, or in case of Shavuos. So the issue of Zman applies. So Abaye says, Yayin Kiddush Zman Ner Havdola. And Rava Omar Yak Nehaz, which is Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdola and Zman, which is Shehechiyonu. Vehilchaso Kerova, and the Gemara concludes that Rava is the accepted way. Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Ikla Lebei Rava. Before we go further, we have a new geometric form that we would like to take note of, and this appears in the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. The expression Lebei Rava appears in a diamond, and we've assigned to this the following explanation. Maisim incidents, Shehisrachashu, that took place, Beveis Rava, Beinyan Brochas. Incidents that took place in the home of Rava that have a connection to the issue of Brochais. The Nosei, the topic heading, Ma Koidim B'Seder HaBrochas, B'Somim O Ner. Here, for the first time, we're going to introduce B'Somim, the spices that one uses when Shabbos is departing under the normal weekday circumstances, though, of course, without a Yom Tov following. We have Brochas, besides the Brocha on the Yayin and the Brocha of the Havdola. There are two more Brochas, and they include Besamim and Ner. What is the order with regard to those two Brochas? Which comes first? So the story unfolds. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Iklo lebei Rava. Rav Huna visited Rava. Aisu lekamayu Moor u Besamim. it was brought in front of them a candle and the besamim. Baruch Rava abesamim bereisha v'hadar amor. Rava made a bracha on the besamim, on the spices first, and then on the candle. Amar lei, Rav Huna asks, v'ha bein beis Shammai ubein beis Hillel mor bereisha v'hadar abesamim. Whether you take Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, who do have a controversy between them. But either way, we'll see their controversy very shortly. It appears in a bracketed section of Gemara. But according to both of them, though, you'll find that the Ner comes before the Besamim, and you place the Besamim before the Ner, or Mor, which is the Ner. Let's understand that Mor and Ner are one and the same for our sugya. What we've done with our markings, we've used a dotted underline for Besamim and Ner to enable you to see quickly Rava's practice and contrast it with the Tanoim that we just mentioned. And we'll then see, after the bracketed section, Rava's response. So in the meantime, Rav Huna raises a question that your order of things, having the Besamim before the Ner, is not in conformity to neither Beis Shammai nor Beis Hillel. We have a brief bracketed section, and if we skip it momentarily, you'll see Oni Rava Basrei. Rava answers after the question is raised, the Omar, and he says, well, the source that you were citing against me, that we see in the brackets, Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's version of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rabbi Meir being a later Tana, later Tanaic opinion, he was presenting his version of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. However, Avol, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda has his version of the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And if you skip down to where Beis Hillel appears at the beginning of the line, you'll see a dashed underlined Beis Hillel, and we have an arrow opposite that line. What is Beis Hillel's approach? So we've squiggle underlined the keywords. Beis Hillel says, Besamim v'achar kach mo'or, placing Besamim before the Ner. Well, did we hear that before? Of course. That was Rava's approach. And we line up the arrows, the arrow here, and you skim up where you see the parallel arrow, and you'll see that Rava's approach also had the Besamim before the Mor. Beis Hillel's approach has the Besamim before the Mor. So, to sum things up, Rava was practicing Rabbi Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda was the author of the second framed source that also presented, in addition to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda presented the opinions of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and the accepted opinion almost always in a machlokas between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel will be Beis Hillel. The question in our sugya was, which version of Beis Hillel do we want? So Rava says, I prefer to go with Rav Yehuda's version of Beis Hillel, and it's in that case that you see Besamim before the Ner. Let's go over the Gemara again, now reading it straight through, following the order of the text. After Rav Huna raised the question, where you see this dashed underline, Bein Beis Shammai Bein Beis Hillel, Mor Bereisha V'Hadar Abesamim, Rav Huna said that your order, the Rava's order, was against both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, who placed Mo'or, the Ner, before the Besamim. That's basically his question. Then after the brackets comes Rava's answer. But in the meantime, the Gemara asks in the brackets, Umayhi, and what is that? What is this Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that Rav Huna is referring to? Disnan, we have the following Tanaic source. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ner, Umazon. Mazon is a reference to Birchas HaMazon. We've seen this sugya before, where a person had one cup of wine, and he was going to recite all the brachas on the one cup of wine, the brachas of Havdalah, and the Birchas HaMazon over the same cup of wine. So that would be a likely scenario to explain the presence of Mazon, of Birchas HaMazon, in this case. So Beis Shammai says that you'll have the Ner, Mazon, Besamim, Havdalah. For our purposes, we're only emphasizing the dotted underline expressions. You have Ner and then Besamim. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, Ner Ubesamim Umazon Vavdala. Once again, emphasizing just the Ner Ubesamim, you see with the dotted underline, Beis Hillel also has Ner and then Besamim. Both of these opinions are in contrast to Rava who had Besamim and then Nair? Answer. Oni Rava Basre. And you might want to note, we didn't note it earlier, but at the left-hand side of the Gemara text, we had just finished a long question, which was indicated by the kuf and the vertical dash line, and now we have a long answer. Rava responds. Oni Rava Basre V'Omar Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. The version of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that was just cited in the framed section just above this was Rabbi Meir's version of their machlokis. Aval, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there's another version of their of the machlokis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo nechlechu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al hamozon shu betchilo, v'al havdala shehi basof. Rabbi Yehuda says that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will agree with regard to these two brachas, the brachas hamozon and the havdalah, that you will recite the brachas hamozon first, and then the Havdalah at the end, the Havdalah Bracha, in which we say Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol Ben Or L'choshech, that's recited at the end. Alma Nechleku, so where does the controversy between Beis Shammai Beis Hillel arise? Al Hamor V'al HaBesamim. Concerning the order of the Ner Bracha, then the Besamim Bracha. Beis Shammai Omrim Mor V'Hagar Besamim. Beis Hillel Omrim Besamim V'Achakach Mor. And with our different types of underlinings, we're emphasizing that which is essential for the sugya. We have Beis Hillel's version of the order of brachas as presented by Rabbi Yehuda, which has besamim before the ner, and as we mentioned earlier, that was the practice that Rava followed. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan Nohagu Ha'om Ke Beis Hillel Valiba de Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan is brought in here probably to show that that's what Rava was based on. And Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that the practice was like Beis Hillel's version of Rabbi Yehuda that has the Besamim and then the Ner, which is what Rava did. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new section, and in the outside margin, we have a Nosei and Mivneh heading that accompanies this, and we're also pointing out that this discussion goes till Daf Kuf Dalid Omid Aleph. So before we go into the Gemara itself, we want to point out the topic heading, Halachas Shenilmadu Mi Bikuroi Shel Rabbi Yankiv Bar Abba Eitzel Rava. We will see a piece of Gemara that brings out numerous halachas that are learned by the visit of Rabbi Yankiv to Rava. Rabbi Yankiv visits Rava, and in the course of that visit, a number of halachas come forward. We have a bow tie form, a Roman numeral number 1 in a bow tie. This marking is explained right now. It says, Be'inyan Hefsik Birchas HaMazon. We're going to deal with the issue of the recitation of the Birchas HaMazon as a hefsik, as a break, to go rain as a cause, levorech Birchas HaNenin od pam. Dehainu hatzorech levorech od borei pri hagefen al hakois shel brocha. Very simply, if a person was drinking wine in the course of a meal, and for that particular Kos Shel Yain, he had made a bracha to enable him to drink the wine. He concludes his meal and then recites Birchas HaMazon, and the Birchas HaMazon he recites while holding a cup of wine. That's called the Kos Shel Bracha. After he finishes the Birchas HaMazon and he wants to drink that wine, is it necessary for him to make a new bracha? After all, he had already been drinking wine before the Birchas HaMazon. Does the Birchas HaMazon constitute a hefsik between, a hefsik meaning an interruption between the first bracha, or the wine before the Birchas HaMazon, that he was drinking courtesy of a bracha that he had made on that first cup, the pre-Birchas HaMazon wine? Does the Birchas HaMazon interrupt and cause him to need to make a new bracha, Birchas HaNenin, a new borei pri hagefen, on the Kos Shel Bracha? On Amud Beis, we will see a Roman numeral number 2, which features Inyonei Havdalah, issues dealing with Havdalah. We will notice in our Gemara the use of a volcano shape or trapezoid that flips back and forth or up and down with the narrow part facing upwards. They will represent she'elos of Rav Yankov, questions that Rav Yankov raises, and with the form flipped over, narrow part facing down, that will represent the tshuvos shel Rava, Rava's responses. We also would like to note something interesting structurally, that this entire sugya with all of the different halachas that are dealt with is essentially the outgrowth of a long story, a maisa that happened. We have a long marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You see the word maisa that's encircled with an indication that says Ad Kuf Dalin Omer Aleph. So if you have the Dapim in front of you, you'll notice that all of Omer Beis has this dashed vertical line on the left-hand side of the Gemara text. And this continues on the left-hand side of the Gemara text on Kuf Dalid Omer Aleph as well. So all of this Gemara revolves around this particular visit. We will have additional length markers that will refer to long, a long answer and a long bracket indicator on Amud Beis. But we try in our markings to be consistent with regard to the side of the Gemara text that a particular marking begins on. When you flip over to a new Amud, a new Daf of Gemara, if the marking continues, so it will continue on the same side of the Gemara text where it started originally. So in this case, the Maisa marking continues alongside the left-hand side of the Gemara text till the end of the Maisa. So the Gemara begins, Rav Yankov bar Abba Ikla, he went to Lebei Rava. He went to Rava, and we're talking about an incident on Shabbos. Chazye de Borech Bori Priyogefen Akosa Kama. Rav Yankov noticed that Rava made a Birchas Bori Priyogefen on a first cup of wine. Vahodar Borech Akosa de Birchasa the Ishti. And then he made another Borei Priya Gefen on the cup of wine that he was holding for or in honor of the Birchas HaMazon, and then drank. Omar Lei, Rav Yankov asks, Lama Loch Kulei Hai Ha Borech Lon Mar Achada Zimna? Why is all of this necessary? Namely, why is it necessary to make a second Borei Priya Gefen? You already made a Brocha of Borei Priya Gefen once. Omar Lei, Rava answers, and we have a little one over here because this answer will be followed with another answer later on in the Gemara where you see a few lines down a number two. So his first attempted answer, Rava says, Omar Lei, Ki Havinon Be Reish Gelusa Hachi Avdinon. When we were in the house of the Reish Gelusa, the exilarch, the head of the Jewish community in the exile, in the diaspora, this is the way we did things. So I'm simply following what I have seen practiced elsewhere. Omar Lei, Rav Yankov responds with a question. He says, I can understand the multiple recitations of the bracha over the wine there. Tenach bei resh galusa dahachi avdinon. There I can understand that thusly we would practice the sofek maisilon, sofek lo maisilon. There is a doubt in our minds whether we will have another cup of wine, so that when we made a bracha on the first cup of wine, we did not have in mind, we didn't anticipate a second cup of wine being brought. So the bracha that was made covered only the first cup, because we didn't have in mind a second cup. However, hocha, ha monach koso kamon, V'dayton iluya, the second cup of wine was present already. Maybe it was a bottle of wine, but the wine that was going to constitute the second cup was present in front of us when the first bracha was made. So why is it that the first bracha did not cover all the subsequent wine drinkings? After all, the wine was present when the first bracha was made. Omar Lei, Rava answers, and we have a long answer marking. This is indicated by the tuf that's encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and this will continue down Omid Beis till the fifth line from the top. So this is a long answer. Omar Lei, Ano Avdi Ketalmide de Rav. I followed the ways of the students of Rav. Who are they? The Rav Bruno, Rav Hananel, Talmide de Rav. Havu, the Rav Bruno and Rav Hananel are their names. They were the students of Rav. Havu Yasvi Besudasa. They were sitting at a meal. Koi Alayu Rav Yeva Sava. Rav Yeva Sava was serving them. He served as the waiter, if you will. Omar Omru Lei, the Talmidei Rav turned to Rav Yeva Sava and said, Havlon V'nivrich. Let us recite the Birchas Hamazon. V'sof Omru Lei, Havlon V'nishti. And they then changed their minds and said, well, before the Birchas Hamazon, let's have another drink. Omar Lahu, Rav Yeva said, Hochi Omar Rav. Rav ruled thusly, Kevan de Amrisu Havlon V'nivrich, since you declared your interest initially in making the Birchas Hamazon, you basically disconnected from any thoughts of continued food consumption. You had decided to make the Birchas Hamazon. That constitutes a hesech hadas, a discontinuation of mind, disconnecting of mind from eating. And as a result of that, itzira l'chu l'mishti. You are forbidden to simply continue drinking without making a new bracha. So, as a result of that, you had better first make the Birchas Hamazon, which you had decided upon, and then continue drinking after that. There are possibly a possible other approach to this is simply that, listen, you can't just continue drinking without making a bracha. You're going to have to make a new Borei Pri HaGefen because you disconnected from, initially disconnected from any continued eating or drinking from the point that you requested to bench to make the Birchas Hamazon. The Gemara explains this. My Taimo, why is it that it's forbidden to simply continue drinking as you had been doing before? De aschisu dataychu. You disconnected your mind at the point that you wanted initially to make the Birchas, to say the Birchas Hamazon. You disconnected your mind from the thinking, from the meal. At this point in the Gemara, we notice a bracketed section. The bracket is also, the section in brackets is indicated by the length marker that we, as characteristic of bracket lengths, by a vertical dashed dotted line that you find, in this case, to the right-hand side of the Gemara. All of this is in brackets. And we have an explanation on the inside margin, Tam Hasograim. Our brackets are based on the Rashbam, who explains later on the page under the Dibur HaMaschil of Kimota. Ma shemofia acharei hasograyim, our note continues, that which appears after the bracketed section, Have hemshich lemaisa zu, shall be kuro shereb yankiv bar abo bebei rova. This is simply a continuation of the incident involving the visit of Rabbi Yankov in the house of Rava. Bikur Shehischa b'Shabbos, the visit started on a Shabbos. Umam Shich l'Motzoi Shabbos, and the visit continues into Saturday night, as we will see. So that after the bracketed section, notice we have a bow tie form. And there it introduces the second halacha, where it says, Kimoto lavdule, when Rava came to the point of making Havdalah, kom shame ve'adlik avuka mishroga, and the story goes on with Rava's making of Havdalah, and Rabbi Yankov, once again you can see the trapezoid or volcano form flipping back and forth, as we indicated earlier. These are questions and answers between Rabbi Yankov and Rava. With all that having been said, we are aware that the incident continues, the visit continues, after the bracketed section. Now let us turn back and focus on the bracketed section itself. The issue in the brackets continues with the issue of the need or lack of need of multiple brachas for multiple cups of wine. Amemar Umar Zutra Viravashi. As you can see, this is the beginning of the bracketed section that you see 5 lines from the top of the page. You have these 3 rabbis, Amemar, Mar Zutra, and Ravashi, Havu Yasvi Besuda. They were sitting at a meal, a weekday meal. We should mention, even though maybe it's obvious, that this section is not related story-wise to the incident with Rava and Rav Yankiv. This is a different incident, and hence you can see this whole section is in brackets. After the brackets, the original incident picks up. So we have these 3 rabbonim that are sitting at a meal. The koy alayu Rav Acha Brei de Rava. Koy alayu is an expression you find numerous times, as we saw at the very top line, this loshen with Rav Yeva Sava. Here, Rav Acha is serving these visitors, these rabbis that are assembled. You have 3 rabbis, and you'll see different practices with regard to the brachas on their respective cups of wine. Amemar Boruch Al Kol Kosa V'Kosa. Amemar made a separate bracha on each cup of wine that he drank. Mar Umar Zutra Boruch Akosa Kamo V'Akosa Basra. Rav Marzutra made a bracha on the first cup of wine, drank then a number of other cups without making a bracha, and on the final cup of wine, he also made a bracha. That kos of basra is the kos of Birchas HaMazon, or is after the Birchas HaMazon, which he recited while holding a cup of wine. He then, before drinking that cup of wine, after his Birchas HaMazon recitation, he made a bracha. This is similar to the practice of Rava that was recorded earlier on the bottom of Omed Aleph that continued to the top of this particular Omed, where Rava also made a bracha after on the Kois Shel Bracha after the Birchas HaMazon. And the third representative, Rav Ashi, Baruch Akosa Kamo Vesu Lo Baruch. He made a bracha on the first cup of wine that he had during the meal, and then did not make any more Borei Pri HaGefens at that particular incident. Omar Lehu Rav Acha Bar Rava. Rav Acha Bar Rava, he was serving them. He saw all these different practices, and he says, Anan Kemanavid, we, like whom should we practice? So he was, in a sense, from the continuation of Gemara, asking, like, well, each one of you have different practices. Can we at least hear the explanation of each one and then understand how we should act? So the Gemara explains, and you can see we've continued our numberings 1, 2, and 3 with squiggle underlines featuring the names. These numbers correspond to the names that were just presented. Amemar Omar Ano Nimlach Ano. I had a change of mind at each cup of wine. Namely, after I drank a cup of wine, I figured at that point, that's it, I'm not going to have any more wine. So he was Mesiach Daito. He discontinued his thoughts concerning wine drinking. That the fact that he was Nimlach, that he decided later to drink another cup of wine, that represents a new drinking, so to speak, and necessitates a new bracha. And that happened each time. After each cup of wine, he figured, oh, this is enough. I'm not planning to drink any more. Then that another cup was presented to him, and he said, oh, I'll have that. He decided anew to drink, so he needed to make a new bracha. Mar Zutra Omar Ano de Avdi Ketamide de Rav. My practice of one bracha to cover multiple cups of wine during the meal, and then a second Birchas Borei Pri HaGofen for the cup of wine after the Birchas HaMazon, that was consistent with the story that involved the Talmidei de Rav, where in that particular story we saw Rav Yeva announcing to them what Rav's practice is, that the Birchas HaMazon constitutes a Hesech Hadas, a disconnection from any continued eating, and therefore after the Birchas HaMazon, a new bracha is necessary. Rav Ashi Omar les hilchasa ke tamidei de Rav. Rav Ashi doesn't accept the incident involving the tamidei de Rav where Birchas Hamazon was declared a hefsik. Now, based on what is Ravashi saying this? Daha Yom Tov Shechal Yois Achar HaShabbos. In a case that Yom Tov started on a Sunday, so it's on Saturday night, we have the following. We have a need for multiple brachos. The Omar Rav, and Rav said, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdola. Now, at first glance, there doesn't seem to be any connection between Rav's practice over here and the issue of Birchas Hamazon, for the very simple reason that there's no Birchas Hamazon in this particular example. So, what is Rav Ashi attempting to accomplish? So the answer is that you'll notice we squiggle on the yud, that represents the yayin. That's the bracha on the cup of wine. Now, does he drink the cup of wine immediately? No. There's a list of other brachas that are recited. You have Kiddush, Ner, Havdalah. And after that, he'll drink the cup of wine. Now, did the brachas constitute a hefsik, an interruption between the original Borei Pri HaGefen and his drinking? No. The fact that there were other brachos, that did not constitute a hefsik, an interruption. And by the same token, Rav Ashi reasons, the recitation of the Birchas Hamazon does not constitute a hefsik between the original Borei Pri HaGefen that was made on previous cups of wine and the cup of wine that he wants to drink after the Birchas Hamazon. Just like in this case, he's going to drink the wine after having made other brachos. So too, in my case where I was drinking wine and I had made a bracha on the wine and then I'll recite the Birchas Hamazon, that too does not constitute an interruption. And therefore, Rav Ashi was saying, all that was necessary was one bracha of Borei Pri HaGefen on the first cup of wine, and that carries over for all the subsequent cups of wine that, of course, he had in mind to drink, not like the case with Ameimar. The Gemara, however, says, Velohi, the analogy between Rav's halacha here of Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah that was just cited in this abbreviated expression and the story involving Rav Ashi with the Birchas Hamazon are not parallel. Hasam, in the case of reciting the Birchas Hamazon after having started drinking wine, Okar Daite Mimishte, the Birchas Hamazon constitutes an uprooting of his mindset, of his thoughts, from drinking. After all, the Birchas Hamazon is the sign-off, so to speak, of the meal. So that at the point that you're reciting the Birchas Hamazon, you're disconnecting your thoughts from any further drinking. Hacha, in the case of the Havdalah, with the Yom Tov Shechal Yos Achar Shabbos, where it was Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah, Lo Okar Daite Mimishte. He, by the reciting the Kiddush in Ner Havdalah brachas, he wasn't disconnecting his mind from the drinking of the wine. Therefore, those brachas don't constitute a hefsik between his Borei Pri HaGefen and his desire to drink the wine. At this point, we go back to the story with Rav Yankiv's visit to Rava, and as we saw, the story began on Shabbos, and now it continues into Motsoi Shabbos. Kimota Lavduli, when it came time for Rava to make Havdalah, Kom Shame, Rava's Shamish, Rava's servant or butler came, he got up, and the Adlik Avuka Mishroga, and he lit an Avuka is a multi-wicked candle, we can call it a torch. He lit it from a shruga, from a single wick candle that was burning. There had been a single wick candle that was burning, let's just say for illustration's sake, all of Shabbos. And he came and lit a torch from that for the purpose of saying Havdalah. Omar Le, Rav Yankiv asked, Loma loch kulei hai ha mancho shruga? What is the need for lighting the torch from the existing candle? You already have a candle. Make the bracha of Borei Moresh on the candle. Omar Le, Rava answered, and once again we have a numbering that accompanies this. You have a little one and a little two a little bit later. So there will be a revised answer. But for the time being, Omar Le, Rava answers, Shama midaite denavshe ka'ovid. The Shamash did on his own. What he did on his own. So it's the fact that you're addressing the question to me, maybe the question should be addressed to the Shamash. He was doing whatever he did on his own. Amale, Rav Yankiv didn't accept that answer, and he said, "Ilo shmiale minei demor lo have ovid." If he had not heard from you at some point, he wouldn't have acted thusly. In other words, he wasn't doing things on his own. He was doing things because he had heard that this is the way to do things, and he probably heard it from you. Amale, so Rava answers, if you want to know why one would light a torch from an existing candle, I'll explain. He says, "Lo sovar le mor, do you not hold avuka lahavdola mitzvah min amuvkar?" That the use of an avuka, a multi-wick candle, a torch for havdola, is considered the best way to perform the mitzvah, the choice way, mitzvah min amuvkar, the choice way to fulfill the mitzvah. So being that this is the choice way, that's why one would light a multi-wick candle from a regular single candle, single-wick candle. Posach v'omar. At this point, Rava now starts a Havdalah text. And he says, Hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, ben or l'choshech, ben Yisrael lo'amim, ben yoyim hashvi l'sheshes yimei ha'maaseh. You can see with the markings, we've used a double underline, a little double underline to indicate the each one of the distinctions that he made while reciting the Havdalah. We have actually numbered 4 points of distinction that he mentioned in his Havdalah text. He had said that there's a havdalah between the holy and the mundane, that's Bein Kodesh L'Chol, Bein Or L'Choshech, the distinction between light and darkness, and the distinction between Yisrael and the other nations of the world, and Bein Yom HaShvi, L'Sheshes Yimei HaMaaseh, between the seventh day and the rest of the other 6 days of creation. Before we go further, we might take note of the fact that we have a topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Minhagoi Shel Rava, number one, the Ner Havdalah, that we already discussed, the issue of the type of candle one uses for Havdalah, and number two, Benusuch HaBrocha, and the second issue which we're dealing with right now is the content of the Brocha that constitutes the Havdalah, and several points here, Mispar HaHavdalos, Tzorch LaHazkir B'Soch HaNusach, how many Havdalos, how many distinctions must one reference in the Havdalah Brocha, and the second point, Beis, Me'ein HaChasima O Me'ein HaPsicha Somoch HaChasima. The final line before the end Brocha, of what nature must the end line before the sign-off Brocha must be? What's the nature of that last line? Once again, the last line of the Havdalah text, the last phrase of the Havdalah text before the final bracha, the sign-off bracha. That will be an issue later in the Gemara. The Gemara continues, after we hear Rava recite these 4 Havdalahs, 4 points of distinction in his Havdalah bracha, Omar Le, Rav Yankiv asks, Loma loch kulei hai? Rav Yankiv asks, what do you need? What do you need so much for? All these four, such a long bracha with 4 different distinctions in the text. Has it not been told over by Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav that Rav Yehuda HaNossi's Havdalah was actually very short? He would say, Hamavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol. He would say something like, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hamavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol. And that was the Havdalah of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Why are you doing so much? Amale, so Rava answers, and you can see with the trapezoid volcano form flipped over how this is a response. Rava says, Ano Keho Svirali. I hold like the following. The Omar Rabbi Lozer, Omar Rabbi Shaya. Hapolches lo yivchos migimol. One who recites a minimum number of distinctions should not recite a number less than 3. He should recite 3 and not less than 3. V'hamoisif, and one who wants to mention numerous distinctions, wants to add distinctions, lo yosef al sheva, he should say seven and not more than seven. So you have a choice here of three or seven. So that would answer why I didn't rely on the one distinction that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi may have said. Amalei, Surav Yankiv says, okay, I understand that you did not rely on one, but at the end of the day, you said four. But according to what you just taught us, it's the number is supposed to be three or seven. But you did four. It's neither three nor seven. V'homor lo tlosa omar v'lo sheva omar. You didn't say three, nor did you say seven. You said four. The Tosfos points out at the top that the numbers three and seven doesn't represent a span. It rather represents, as we've been explaining along the way, three or seven, because those numbers have some type of inherent significance. So Rav Yankiv is asking back, well, but you didn't do three nor seven. You did a different number of havdolas, of distinctions. Omale, so Rava answers, Ibra, in truth, the what you thought was four really is not, because Ben Yoyim Hashvi L'Sheshes Yemei HaMaaseh, which we had listed as number four, is not really part of the list of distinctions. Its presence is to fulfill a different function. It's Me'ein Chasimohi. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel HaMavdil Tzorch Shiomar Me'ein Chasimo Somuch L'Chasimoso. The purpose or the presence of that expression is to fulfill a textual requirement when it comes to formulation of brachas. As far as textual formulation of brachas is concerned, our sugya presents two opinions. The first opinion is of interest to us right now, at this very moment, because it's based on this that Rava acted. The first opinion is that of Rav Yehuda Shmuel, that says that when one makes Havdalah, he has to have before the final bracha, which is Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMavdil, Bein, Kodesh, L'Chol, one has to have Me'ein Chasima, something that is of the essence of that final bracha. That's Me'ein Chasima Somuch L'Chasimoso. The Chasimoso is the final bracha, so the line that precedes, that immediately precedes the final bracha, must capture the essence of that final bracha. So if the final bracha is HaMavdil Bein Kodesh L'Chol, then the line preceding that has to capture that. And that is accomplished by reciting Bein Yom HaShvi'i, which is the Kodesh, L'Sheish Yisim HaMaaseh, which represents the six days of the week, the mundane Chol days. The Gemara itself continues with another opinion on this particular topic. Upumbadisoi Amri. Pumbadisa has a different opinion in terms of the structure of the text. They say, Me'ein psichoson samuch l'chasimoson, that the final phrase before the closing bracha, the sign-off bracha, the closing phrase must reflect something of the beginning of the text. That's Me'ein psichoson, something that reflects the beginning of the text must reappear at the next to the sign-off point. Before we go further on in the Gemara, just let us take note of a couple of things here. The first point is we have a tat nosei, a topic, a subtopic heading in the outside margin, and it reads as follows: Shnei deos, two opinions, benisuach brachos, with regard to the text of brachos. Ma oimrim besomuch l'chasima, what is necessary to be recited next to or immediately preceding the sign-off bracha? Rav Yehuda said, Me'ein hachasima, that the final phrase before the sign-off bracha reflects the topic, the content of the sign-off bracha itself. Pumpadisoi holds Me'ein Hapsicha, that the final line, the final phrase before, preceding, immediately preceding the sign-off bracha, reflects the opening of the Havdalah. And the Nafkamina, the Sugya Senu, the Nafkamina in our particular Sugya, Bebirchas Havdalah, Bein Shabbos Liyom Tov. In the specific case of the bracha that's recited, that constitutes the Havdalah between Shabbos and Yom Tov, namely when Shabbos exits and a Yom Tov begins, a Yom Tov that takes place on a Sunday, Shechasimosa, the text of that sign of bracha is a little bit different. There it's Bein Kodesh L'Kodesh. Ve'im Tzrifim Loimar Bein Kedushas Shabbos L'Kedushas Yom Tov Hivdalta. The practical difference will be, is it necessary to say that part of the text? This can be seen if one opens up a sitter. One will see this if he can find the place in the Siddur where the special Yom Tov, Shabbos into Yom Tov, Kiddush, Havdalah section appears, this phrase appears. Well, is it really necessary to say this phrase, Bein Kiddushas Shabbos, Kiddushas Yom Tov, Hivdalta? The Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, who says that you have to have the essence of the sign-off bracha right before the sign-off bracha, so since the sign-off bracha in that particular case is Bein, we say Bein Kodesh L'Kodesh, therefore there must be a reference to that beforehand, and that's accomplished by saying Bein Kedushas Shabbos L'Kedushas Yom Tov Hivdalta. However, L'Pupadisoi, who says that the phrase before the sign-off bracha does not have to reflect the sign-off bracha, but rather reflects the essence of the beginning of the Havdalah, then Ein L'Omro, you don't say that you don't use that, you don't insert the phrase of Bein Kedushas Shabbos Kedushas Yom Tov Hivdalta. V'Sho'er, there will remain Bein Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshes Yemei HaMaaseh, that will remain Duhu Me'ein HaPsicha. That reflects the beginning, the opening of the Havdalah. And with that, he will accomplish Me'ein HaPsicha Samuch L'Chasima. So that's, in effect, what the Gemara says right now. After we see Pupadisa saying that you need to have Me'ein Psichoson Samuch L'Chasimoson, reflect the beginning, the essence of the beginning, in the phrase that precedes the sign of Bracha. My Binayu, the Gemara raises the question, well, what's going to be a practical difference between these two opinions, the opinion of Shmuel and the opinion of, what we call Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the opinion of Pupadisoi. Iko Binayu Yom Tov Shechalios Achar HaShabbos. The point of difference will be this case, where Yom Tov is on a Sunday, where it's following the Shabbos. The chasminon bein kodesh lekodesh, where the sign-off bracha in that case is Baruch Ato Hashem Hamavdil bein kodesh lekodesh, which of course is different than the standard weekday havdalah of bein kodesh lechol. Man diomar mein psichoson samol chasimoson, according to Pupadisa, who said that one must reflect the essence of the opening of the havdalah passage in the closing phrase that precedes the closing bracha, lo boi lemeimar bein kedushas Shabbos lekedushas Yom Tov Hivdalta. You don't have to say that phrase in the text. That phrase reflects the sign off bracha, which was bein Baruch Ato Hashem Hamavdil bein kodesh lekodesh, and in this sign off text you have a reference to the two Kedushas. You have Kedushas Shabbos, and you have Kedushas Yom Tov, and you can see that we've dashed, underlined that to reflect that particular point. But according to Pupadisa, you don't need that phrase at all, because we're not interested, according to their opinion, in capturing the essence of the closing bracha in the phrase that immediately precedes it. Oman diomar me'ein chasimoson somuch l'chasimoson. that one has to capture the essence of the closing bracha in the phrase right next to the closing bracha, and the closing bracha is Bein Kodesh LeKodesh in this case. Boi lemeimar bein kedushas Shabbos lekedushas Yom Tov hivdalta. It will be necessary to add that into the Havdalah text. In truth, if you are successful in opening up a siddur, you will find that there actually are more phrases that appear after this before you get to the closing bracha. But Tosfos already comments that that doesn't have to figure into our particular sugya. Those are, we'll simply refer to them as later additions. But for our purposes, this is considered the phrase Bein Kedushas Shabbos Kedushas Yom Tov Hivdalta, is considered for our discussion the phrase, the closing phrase prior to the sign off bracha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.